Now say peace be within thee, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Heavenly Father, we've looked forward to this day, and we ask, Lord, that you would just anoint it and bless it. The music has been outstanding, prepared our hearts, Lord. And I pray as we look into the Word of God that we allow it to minister to us, Lord. Thank you for the church house. Thank you for what it's meant in each of our individual lives. Different sets of memories, different stories that could be told. But Lord, thank you, dear God, for this. What you decided, what you invented, what you spoke into existence, the church, the local New Testament church. I pray, Lord, that we'll, from these days forward, have a new thankfulness and appreciation for what we've always had. And Lord, that we never go back to what we just experienced. That would be our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to look first of all at that very first verse. I just want to make some introductory comments out of just the first verse. The penman of this psalm was David. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let me go into the house of the Lord. Three observations in introduction. Number one, David happily anticipated going to the house of the Lord. It evoked an emotion in him. He said, I was glad when they said, unto me, let us go. So he didn't say I was glad when I got there. I started getting happy when they just said we were heading there. And David experienced a wonderful flood of happiness at the mere mention of going to the house of the Lord, of going to worship the Lord. I love this word glad. I took a look at it, and it's a powerful word. It means to brighten up as if the sun came out. It means to become blithe and gleesome and cheerful, to make happy and joyful and merry, to cause one to very much rejoice. The mere mention of going to church created in David a powerful and positive emotion. No matter how tough his week had been, the prospect of going to the house of the Lord changed his heart from bad to glad. Assembling together on the Lord's Day pushed a divine reset button in his soul. His spirit sprang up at the prospect. His heart counted down the days. His mind anticipated the event. His mood brightened. His pulse quickened. A smile played at the corner of his mouth. Soon, soon I will go. Soon I will gather. Soon I will stand in my place in the house of the Lord. So David happily anticipated going to the house of the Lord. Number two, David was glad to. Look at the word go. G-O. Go to the house of the Lord. Part of church attendance is attending. Staying is not going, folks. Staying is not going. Isolation is not gathering. Scattered is the opposite meaning of assembling. David said that his happiness kicked in, his cheerfulness blossomed, his heart was made merry because there was something to get ready for. There was a trip to take, a journey to a sacred and divine location, a gathering from all directions, leaving home, leaving the world, leaving the cares of the world, and arriving at a house that was set aside to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, David was glad to go to his house of the Lord. And he says and mentions in verse number two, the city of Jerusalem. He said, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. So folks, he went to the house of the Lord, but he went to a specific house of the Lord. You see, David was specific when he referred to the house of the Lord. This was not the synagogue in Bethlehem. By the way, this was before the building of the temple. Remember, it was Solomon that built the temple. So David was talking about his synagogue in his city. He wasn't talking about the synagogue in Bethlehem. He was not talking about the synagogue in Samaria and Jericho and Bethany or Hebron. This was David's house of worship in David's city. This was not just any house of God. This was the place God had put David. Now, folks, I've attended a lot of churches across our land, and I'm always pleased to go to any assembly. And you know what? Sometimes that's the way it is. I've preached in 38 different states and three foreign countries. I've been in some wonderful churches, vibrant churches, some average churches, a few dead churches. But there's only one church that is my local New Testament church. There's only one church that is God's will for me and my family. Blessed is the family that goes to church. But more blessed is the family that understands what it is to have a church home. David anticipated church. The very thought of going stirred strong and sacred emotions. I mean, going to church brought sunshine and gladness to his heart. David wasn't just going anywhere. He was going to the house of the Lord that was God's choice and God's will for his life. One of the sad facts concerning the past several weeks where we've been prevented by executive order from gathering as a church family is that, as a church family in our church home, was this. Please listen. These decisions were being made in large by politicians who do not regularly and faithfully attend church. No wonder it didn't seem like that big a deal to them. They do not experience what we do every single week of our lives. They don't have a strong connection or strong attachment to the house of worship. I did not say that some of them did not sometimes attend, but there's a difference between making an occasional appearance at church and having our life attached to and revolve around the house of the Lord. So the world has no idea what the big deal is. They have no idea why church means so much to the born-again Christian. In various proclamations issued by our state government, I mean, the church has been described as a social gathering, an in-person event. I never thought I'd heard church, you know, described such. One time, worst of all, a non-essential gathering. God help us. When the Church of Jesus Christ is listed on par, on the same list with stores and shops and restaurants and bars, then our country has hit a frightening level of spiritual ignorance. The powers that be do not and cannot understand the joy and happiness that just going to church produces in born-again believers. They're never going to understand it, nor will they ever understand the other side of that coin, the sadness and the emptiness felt by God's people who are forced to stay home on the Lord's Day. That is just unnatural to us. Today, though, I'm glad. I'm glad that they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hey, let's look forward to gathering, folks, this week, next week, all through the next. Let's be cheerful and merry and glad. I want to spend more time hitting on the politicians, but I'm not going to let them ruin the day for me, all right? Let's spend this morning rejoicing that we're able once again to go to the house of the Lord. Now, preacher, what made David so glad? Let's look into this psalm because I want the text to speak to us. I want to go down through this psalm. What's the big deal? Maybe there is one of those politicians listening. Maybe there is someone that's not church that has found this. They don't really understand. What made David so glad and what makes Christians so glad just to come to the house of the Lord? Number one, he was glad to see his spiritual family. I like verse number one. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Verse number two, our feet shall stand within the gates of, within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Verse number four, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. Sounds like there's a big gathering, a lot of people coming. How about verse number eight? For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. In the early days of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, my mom provided a lot of the special music, and it was good to hear Chad and Rachel sing. I got several texts that said, in the last couple of weeks, we've heard you and your wife sing, and we've heard Brother Young and his wife sing. When are we going to hear Brother Gordon and his wife sing? And so for those of you that were asking that, now you can say you've done it. They did a good job, didn't they? Yes. Next time, turn Chad's volume down a lot more and hers up a little bit more, and we might even make it a little better. But in the early days of the church, we didn't. Listen, folks, we're so gifted. We're so blessed. We have so much musical talent in this church that honestly, it's crazy. But in the early days of our church, it didn't start out that way. I'll just tell you, it didn't start out that way. And I'm talking about in the living room days. I'm talking about in the garage days of Blessed Oak Baptist Church. And the music program was my sister Lori playing the piano and my mom singing the special music. And Harry McDonald would get up, didn't need the piano, amen. He'd do some singing, and there was one or two others, but it wasn't like it is today. But in the early days of our church, I can remember my wife, my mother standing up and singing this song many, many times. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. You know the first verse, you will notice? You will notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. And I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Oh, I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm a part of the family of God. How many is dying to sing the second verse? Do you know it? From the door of an orphanage to the house. Let's try it. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the King. No longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong. And I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. You know why David was glad to go to the house of the Lord? Because he missed his family. He missed his family. I mean, Sunday was family reunion time. Mark chapter 3, we see a story, and I don't hear many preachers preaching on it. And it seems like when I read it, it makes some Christians nervous. But you know what? A lot of things that Jesus did makes us nervous today. But maybe we ought to pay attention. Maybe we ought to listen. Mark chapter 3, verse 31, there came unto then his brethren, talking about Jesus, his brethren and his mother, and standeth without, and sent unto him, calling him. The multitude said about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. Now listen to what Jesus said. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Amen. I've watched people trade off God's will for their blood family. I've watched people walk away from their church family to make a member of their blood family happy. But you know what? I've never seen a conflict between the two. Thank God I wasn't raised in a home where I had to make a choice. See, I have a mother, but I've always had church mothers. I have brothers, blood brothers, but I've always had church brothers too. I have a sister, but I also have always had church sisters. God has blessed us with 3 daughters and 11 grandchildren, but God has also blessed us with church children and church grandchildren. What do you think about that? See, David was glad because he was going to get to see his spiritual family. That's not only the reason. He was glad, number two, he was glad to replay his spiritual memories. Look at verse number five. Interesting verse that has to be studied out to be understood. He was glad to replay his spiritual memories. He says, for there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. That thrones of judgment means moments of great decision. The thrones of David means that his family had some history there. David's family had history in this gathering place, in this synagogue. When he came into the house of the Lord, he did not just look forward to the events of the day and what he would feel that day. But as he walked in the door, he was flooded with the memories of everything he had experienced in that place throughout his life. You see, folks, church is where I got saved. Church is where I got baptized. Church is where I surrendered to preach. Some of the greatest decisions of my life were made right here at these altars. This has been, for me, a place of joy. It's also been a place of sadness. We've married our young people here and buried our white-haired saints. This has been a place of victory, but also it's been a place of valleys. I mean, through the years, think back, we've launched January themes in this place as we cast another vision for a new year. We've ate together and laughed together and ate together and cried together and ate together and sang together and mostly ate together. This is our happy place. But I want to tell you this, it's also our sad place, and that's okay. This is our smiling place, but it's also our crying place. This is where we felt some of the highest highs, and we've also joined together to face some of the lowest lows. We have wedding memories here, as well as funeral memories here. Baby announcements and birthday celebrations, VBS ministries and teen rally memories and revival memories and missionary memories and salvation memories and baptism memories and record attendances and single-digit weather days where no buses ran and a handful of us stand around missing our bus families. I've stood in this place and been so amazed that I felt like I was in heaven. I've also stood in this place and been so brokenhearted that I wondered if I could get through a service. I've seen the greatest acts of kindness and the greatest acts of sacrifice, and just a few times, and thank God I can say sadly, just a few times, the greatest acts of betrayal. But I want to say this, I'll take it all. The highs, the lows, the good, the great, the laughter, the tears, because this church is my church and these people are my family. So I'll take it all. David felt all these things when he entered into the house of worship. And folks, I hope that you feel those things. You know, one of the advantages, and I understand God moves people, and I've never had a problem with that as long as it's God doing it. And very few of us started in the same church that we're going to end in at the end of our lives. But I'm going to tell you something. One of the blessings of just finding a church home and allowing God to let you be there long term is, you know what? You build those things. Not everybody feels what I feel when I pull into the parking lot. But not everybody feels what you feel either, because your memory sets different than mine. But we all ought to feel something. This ought to be a good place. Number three, he was glad to gather because the house of the Lord was a place of thanksgiving, prayer, and peace. Did you see those things mentioned? The end of verse 4, to give thanks unto his name. Verse number 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Verse number 6, again, pray for the peace. Verse 7, peace be within thy walls. End of verse number 8, peace be within thee. Thanksgiving, prayer, peace. You come to church and you're carrying some burdens. But you know what? You come to this place and you begin to find that thankfulness. And you begin to pray together. Thinking about all of the prayer memories in this place. Jesus said this, Mark 11:17, and he taught them, saying unto them, Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? This place, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, is a praying place. It is. When I come in here, I get to pray with my church family. Thank you, men, for being involved in pastor's prayer team, and thank you for your faithfulness and just meeting before every service and gathering together with your partner and praying. I want this to be a place of prayer. I begin to think back of all the answers to prayer that we've experienced in all of these years, folks. It's phenomenal. Wednesday night prayer meetings and men's prayer meetings, and I want to say a special thanks to the men that have gathered with me these last several weeks on Monday night and Tuesday night, because if we've never ever needed God's people in God's house on their knees praying, we've needed it in the last few weeks. I've watched teenage prayer meetings. I walked down in our Christian school and I've asked our Christian school kids, back in the days I was supervisor, I'd be able to carry a prayer request that involved our church family, interrupt a school day and say, young people, would you turn around and just kneel at your desk, and can we lift this need up? Can we lift this brother up? Can we lift this sister up? And you know what? We got to see God do those things and answer those prayers. I've interrupted, didn't know they were doing it. Teen called teen prayer meetings back in the day, where I would come and discover that our kids in our Christian school decided that day they wouldn't eat lunch. And I walk into a lunchroom and none of the teenagers are there. None of the junior high, none of the high school students are there. That will make you nervous if you're in charge of the school. And to search around and seek around and find a little room where they've sequestered themselves away because a teen revival or a teen rally was coming soon and they had decided not to eat but pray. This is a place of prayer memories. David was glad to experience the peace that was within the walls. The thankfulness, folks, the thankfulness and the peace that it brings. Pray for peace. Peace be within thy walls. peace be within thee. I had somebody that occasionally attends our church, and he said something. I visited him a few weeks ago, and he said something to me, and he said, "Preacher, I know I should be there. I know I should be there more often." And he said, "Every time I leave the property, I think to myself, why don't I just come every service? Because no matter what burdens I carry in," he said, "by the time I pull out of the driveway, there's a peace that I don't even understand and that I cannot get from any place else on the earth." And I amen to what he said, and also amen that he should be here every service. Amen. Number four, David was glad to be challenged to leave there better than he came. Let's close out with looking at verse number 9. "Because of the house of the Lord our God, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good." Folks, the world will teach you to be selfish. The church will teach you to live for God and live for others. I've left this place many a time over the years, more determined to win souls, more determined to be kind, more determined to be selfless, more determined to be sacrificial, more determined to, with God's help, be like Jesus. This is the make you better place. We come here to be challenged to do more, be more, give more, witness more, love more, weep more, sow more, rejoice more, and then we come back for more. You know why? Because we need it. I want to say this, church fixes things inside of me. And I think David felt the same way about his house of the Lord. So he wrote this, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of gathering. And Lord, thank you for the good news we've received this week. And Lord, in a very timely fashion, Lord, according to your will and leading, Lord, we're excited and anxious just to get things up and rolling. Lord, I want to thank you. You say in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And as much as I've experienced a vexation of spirit in the past few weeks because of missing the gatherings, missing the assembling of the brothers and sisters, as much as I've hated it and been vexed by it, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for allowing it. Thank you for what you've taught us. Thank you for hitting a divine reset button in our lives. Thank you for helping us to be more thankful for things that we were taking for granted. And Lord, thank you for what you taught me personally. Lord, I'm not sure that I'll ever see church quite the same way. And so thank you, Lord, for being in our midst this morning. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to also say this. Church is the getting saved place. It's a good place to get born again. Over the course of the history of this church, I mean this, hundreds, thousands of people have come onto this property, lost on their way to hell, sat in a pew, listened to the gospel, responded to an invitation, and left knowing for sure that they were on their way to heaven. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're in a good place. You're in a good place because people here, they're equipped, they're ready, they're excited. They would love to take a Bible, open it up, and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Christians, maybe it's time for us to just kind of gather together and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, bless our time of invitation. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We're going to let the piano player play as the Spirit of God has moved in your heart.